Well, it's time for you to get your dander up. It's time for Sound Off Open Lines this hour. You know, as the late Peter Finch playing the role of Howard Beale once said in the movie Network, he just can't take it anymore. Can you? Thanks again to Richard C. Hoagland for coming on the program tonight, and we are buying 50 of his Dark Mission books, and I'm going to give out 49 of them. One's already spoken for from Bad Boy from the NighthawkZone.com group. So we'll give out 49 over the course of a few weeks. How I'm going to do that, I do not know, but we'll do it. And they'll be signed, by the way, by the authors Richard C. Hoagland and Michael Barra. So how about that? Let's go to the phones. We've got Sound Off open lines for this entire hour to get your week going. And here we go. Let's go to Boulder, Colorado, west of the Rockies. You're on Coast to Coast. Welcome to the program. Hi there.
Hello. Hey there, George.
Yeah, welcome to the show.
Hey, it's Kat from Boulder.
Hey,
I
Kat.
Want to sound off about the Georgian-Russian situation and the U.S. role.
Sure.
Now, let me get this straight. We did nothing when they were murdering people in Rwanda. We did. We haven't done anything yet to mitigate the situation in Darfur. The Georgians, from my understanding, went into South Ossetia and started wiping people out and destroying homes. And we come in on the side of the Georgians against the Russians. What gives? I mean, is this not totally absurd, like an Alice in Wonderland world, or what?
When you tend to take sides, you always seem to take the sides of the group that you want to return the favor for. So I have a feeling that we conveniently turned our head the other way while this was going on. And to what I hear, about 1,500 of those people in that breakaway province may have been killed by Georgia during that initial episode. And, you know, they were breaking off. There's no question about that. They, you know, wanted to side with Russia. And, you know, I think the head of Georgia, the president, made a blunder, and he paid for it.
Well, that very well may be so, but what are we, the United States, doing, sticking our nose in this thing and on the wrong side? I mean,
haven't we done that before?
Yes, indeed, we have. Oh, just one little thing, George.
Sure.
Edible RFIDs. Have you heard about this?
Edible?
Yes, because the FDA wants to. Some are thinking that some of these E. coli outbreaks have been manipulated in order to scare people about their food.
Okay.
So that they have a reason to put edible RFID chips into the food, and people won't complain. They say, oh, well, you know, they have to track it. It's just something to keep an eye on.
So as you take a bite out of your new your salad, you'll get that chip down your throat, huh?
Exactly.
Oh, my gosh. Well, you pass it out eventually, don't you?
I suppose so, but in the meantime, you know, and you know, they can make a lot of them.
Well, that's true. Kat, thanks for the call. Joplin, Missouri, east of the Rockies. Hey, Dan, go ahead.
Hello, George. I want to sound off about how so many so-called enlightened-sided people are so closed-minded when we versatile, visionary, blind people try to let them know that we can see things on the inside of our minds and that we use that inner vision to help us do all sorts of things very productively.
Give me a little example here, Daniel.
Well, I'm going to put a little bit of sense of humor in this, if you don't mind,
all right,
sir, because sometimes we need that. Now, way back when I was 5 years old, when seeing shadows and shapes and colors up near my face faded away into inner space. You follow me?
I'm with you.
Now, what came into my mind, and I know many, many ones of my era will most certainly understand this, what came to my mind was perceptions of wheels turning in relation to wheels and cranks and pulleys and levers in geometric configurations that Richard C. Hoagland would delight in, you see,
mm-hmm.
was all moving in and out of each other and around each other and everything. And, of course, it wasn't my dad's fault, but he basically said, well, you know, Dan, that sounds like Rube Goldberg, and he was a genius, But he was never practical, so don't be like him. So I thought to myself, wow, Daddy is scared, and he's saying big words that I don't understand, but I think I'm on to something. So you know what, George?
Wow,
I persevere despite the closed-mindedness of people, and that's why I can use my inner space to help me with everything from remote sensing to hypnosis to giving instructions to artists to have them draw things for me. And there's far too many people out there that reduce we blind people down to glorified word processors with feelings. You follow me?
Well, you know better than that. Most,
I know.
Yeah.
So I'll end with this little deal. No matter whether you can see or not, if you cannot see it in your mind, then you are a blind person.
So true, Daniel. So true. Let's go to Alexandria, Louisiana, Cornelius. Thanks for holding.
George, I want to sound off about, why don't you have like some prophecy preachers on, since you deal with psychics and stuff like that? I just wanted to sound off about that.
Positive preachers.
Well, prophecy preachers.
Prophecy. Well, we've had a few on. We've had some on. We, you know, not a lot, but we do it probably 2-3 times a year.
Oh, okay.
I think.
I listen to y'all all the time, but sometimes I got to wake up early in the morning, so I don't get
sometimes you might miss it. We do. And then we put up on the website on a weekly basis the guests that are going to be coming on the program. So we normally post them on Thursday of every week for the following week. So just, you know, follow along that way, and you'll see exactly who's on the show. Let's go to Van Nuys, California. David, your turn. Hi there.
I want to sound off to every American that's asleep who's allowed this country to be hijacked. Literally, you know it. You're awake. I listen to you. It's like you seem to be, you and our Bill seem to be the only two who understand what's going on here. I mean, our country was literally hijacked. It's been playing a shell game with us. It's like when something happens, like whenever the gas goes up 50 cents a gallon, the mountains are all burning on fire. Don't tell me. I looked on satellite imaging. All the mountains that have been lit on fire throughout the United States are all in populated areas. Now, why isn't places in like South America or anywhere else? It's like the, you know, someone's going out there lighting the mountains on fire whenever there's some disturbance in the Bush administration, and it's crazy. And the oil companies are all connected to this administration, and it goes up to $5 a gallon. Could you imagine almost what the $5 went to $4.89 a gallon?
You know, and I'm surprised it didn't stay there longer than it should have.
Well, this proves the administration's in bed with these faceless cowards. As soon as it reached almost $5 a gallon, you know what happened? Bush started talking like he's working for ExxonMobil. He goes, oh, let him drill, let him drill, let him drill. I mean, this guy should be put in prison. I mean, he's in bed with the people who are creating economic terrorism in this country. And check this out. Every single person in the Bush administration who is no longer in the Bush administration, he let them go. Why? Because they were a conduit to him being impeached. Because everybody he told to break the law and do something wrong, he let go so there couldn't be an investigation. Number one, Greenspan was told by the White House to drop interest rates in order to destroy the housing market and then flip it around and complete an economic crunch, which is happening right now. Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac, or Freddie Mac, Fannie Mae, right now was being investigated by the FBI. And guess what they did? They said the White House did it. They said the Greenspan was forced to drop the interest rates, and then that collapsed the market. And guess what? The Bush White House has said, okay, shut up. We're going to give you money. Now the White House is bailing them out to keep them quiet so they don't go to the media and say the White House was the ones who flushed the whole economy out by dropping interest rates in order to crash the economy. These guys are masters, economic masters in the White House.
Well, there you go. You're sounding off. That's what this is all about. Remember the thing that I've always said, follow the money trail when things happen. 99.9% of the time, follow the money trail or who benefits. Even in your own life, if something happens to you that you think is strange, unusual, trying to figure out what happened, who did this to me, just ask yourself who benefits, and you'll see the trail. It's not too hard to find out. Thanks for the call. Next up, let's go to Mark in California, west of the Rockies. Sound off, Mark.
Hey, George, how you doing?
Good. Tonight?
Great show. I'd like to sound off about the black hole thing you were talking to Richard to a little bit ago.
They're
going to
flip the switch on Wednesday. Look out.
Yeah, well, the thing that concerns me and should concern everybody, and I think we've kind of forgotten about it, is a few years ago, and I'm not sure if I saw it on a Coast website or I saw it in the book of crop circles, but a number of years ago, there was one crop circle that showed our solar system with everything in place, but the Earth was gone.
No way.
I swear.
I got to check in with Linda Moultonhouse. She'll probably know
thing.
That.
It was. I couldn't figure out how that could happen, and then I'm trying to tie in the whole Planet X thing, okay?
Oh, man.
And I'm thinking, well, okay, what would take the Earth completely away? And then there's the whole philosophy that, oh, as we circle back into the universe, you know, that we fall into all these things coming at us, or we bop into a hole and get transferred into this higher level of things. They're tying it into 212 and everything. And really, I on the show tonight, I'm listening and I'm thinking, my God, that crop circle, it ties right in.
I got and about what year do you think you remember seeing this?
Oh, geez, George, I'm not sure, but I know, I'm positive it's in the book for sure.
Okay.
Crop circles. That gentleman from England.
Colin Andrews.
That's the man. He'd be the guy.
Okay, we'll check that out.
Contact that. But I think looking at that, these people really better check their math. And they really, really better check the philosophy behind what
they're doing. Can you imagine if they do this?
Well, what's freakish about it is the crop circle is way older than when they let on they were even built.
Maybe the crop formation phenomenon was geared to us waking up with some kind of a message that you can't play around with Mother Nature the way we've been doing it.
Well, I kind of think in the lines of a cross of things, and some of it, you know, when you listen to these people that take the geometries of it and do some pretty fantastic things or flip them around three-dimensionally and come up with these designs of things. And with the think tanks we have today, you know, they're looking at everything.
See, if some real scientists are concerned that we could create these black holes and it could eat up the planet, we need to look into that. I mean, these guys are well-educated. They're degreed up, you know, to the gazoo. We need to stop for a moment and say, we can't flip this switch. There's something we need to check. You know, quite honestly, is it worth risking the planet to find out what happened a fraction after the Big Bang?
Not on an if.
No. Heck
well,
no.
That's what I got to say, George.
Okay.
I hope everybody takes a look at this.
We're sounding off tonight right here on Coast to Coast. William in Spartanburg, California, you're up with us. Hi, William.
George, I want to sound off. I'm here in Spartanburg, South Carolina, and I'm going to sound off about these RFID chips. I think I figured out how they're going to do it.
All right.
They're going to first of all, they're going to come forward about the sex offenders, because you know how everybody's running around with hysteria about it.
Right.
Like, oh, we let them out, and then they go out and rape another child.
And see, that's how you get people to say, well, maybe they're not all that bad.
Well,
right?
See, here's what they're going to do. They're going to put these RFID chips in a couple of pedophiles and say, look, we can track them by satellite. Look, we can have these things set up in a school. If they walk by a school or walk into a school, it'll go off.
Right.
And people say, yeah, sure, let's do that. Let's put them in the pedophile. Then the next thing they'll do, they'll put them in the rapists that they let out. Then they'll put them in the murderers that they let out. Then they'll put them in the drug dealers that they
And everybody out. Will agree with this.
Exactly, because they'll keep thinking, oh, we're keeping society safe. I'm going to tell you right now, George, if they start doing that, you're going to find a lot of these people. And yes, including the pedophiles, committing suicide, because they're going to realize the only way I'm going to get out of prison or jail is if they put the mark of the beast in my hand or in my shoulder or in my forehead or whatever, and that's the only way I'm going to get out. So I either have a choice, stay in jail or sell my soul.
Man, that's a frightening thought, isn't it? We were talking with Catherine Albrecht last week. She was in Los Angeles on business, so we went out to lunch with her, and, I mean, there were more and more stories coming down the pike with RFID chips. I mean, it is absolutely incredible. Next up, Jerry in Ohio, first-time caller. Sound off, Jerry.
George?
Yes, sir.
I am ticked off. I was at Ed Grimsley's site looking at the UFOs on YouTube.
Right.
And off to the left, I saw a Kennedy assassination. And I just curiosity, I pulled it up. And what I saw, to my dismay, blew me away. I had to go out on the back porch and take a deep breath. The driver of the limo is the one that shot Kennedy point blank in the head.
Jerry, I was at an event where someone came up to me very confidentially and told me that exact same thing. Now, the video I've looked at, I can't really tell, but he does turn around, you know, in an awkward way, and it looks like he's pointing something, doesn't it?
Well, yes. Well, you can see the gun. There's several videos on there. I tried this weekend when I got back home. I went and saw three different footages. I saw some black and white, and I saw some colored. Now, there was one footage, the one that I clipped on, it said, "Beware of the New World Order," and it had a talking about Kennedy was giving a speech about secret societies. And then they showed the clip, and then they zoom in on the you can clearly see the gun. The driver, it looks like Oswald shot him from behind in the back first.
Or somebody back there.
Somebody did. It was a shot from behind, and he slunched over. And then right after that hit, the driver looks back, and you can see the gun. I mean, the camera, they slowed down the footage, and you can see the gun in his hand. You can see the smoke coming out of the gun, and you can see the head blowing out in the direction of the bullet wound.
Everything that could go wrong that day went wrong. It was really, truly bizarre.
Well here's what I'm ticked. Yeah, but here's what I'm ticked off about. I saw another footage. And it was showing everybody that was sitting in the car, and I can't remember the guy. It was one of the head CIA guys sitting in the front seat, and he didn't even look to the right or
no,
left.
No, you're absolutely right about it. And also by that time, John Connally, who was the governor of Texas at the time, he was wounded and slumped down too. I don't know if we'll ever get the answer to what happened to John F. Kennedy. I'll be back in a moment as we continue to sound off on Coast to Coast this morning. I'm George Norrie. Yep, sound off open lines for you this hour. I was looking at these maps of these tropical storms and hurricanes that keep blowing by. Man, it's almost as if somebody's aiming them at us. It's just too weird, isn't it? Hey, on our next Coast to Coast program, Melinda Leslie and Joe Montaldo join us. They're going to discuss their recent work researching abductees who have been interrogated, followed, even abducted by covert operatives following their alien abduction. Should be a phenomenal show on Coast to Coast AM. West of the Rockies, Sherry in Washington, sound off. Hi, Sherry.
Hi, George. What I want to sound off about is a few things. First of all, at the end of John McCain's speech at the Republican convention, I couldn't help but be struck by the words security and prosperity. Our security and prosperity depend on blah, blah, blah. I don't remember what he said after that. But isn't that kind of uncanny when you think about the security and prosperity partnership that they're trying to implement?
Yeah, that's true.
Another interesting thing is my partner, he's Scottish, and he said, did you know that Mac means son of? So if you take McCain, son of Cain.
You don't think.
Well, I do. I felt palpable evil when I listened to the Republican convention. I downloaded it on computer.
You really? See, I don't feel evil for any of these candidates. I just, you know, they may not be the most exciting, but to me, they don't seem evil. I mean, they're just there.
I didn't feel it so much from McCain himself as from Sarah Palin. I really felt this sense,
really?
Yeah, that she was posing and that vitriol was just spewing out of her.
Huh.
I mean, the way she attacked Obama and the way she put down him as a community organizer. Since when is community organization a thing to be ashamed of? Helping other people. She turned it. She spun it. Like, because he's a community organizer, that means he's not experienced enough to lead.
It's all politics, you know that.
Yeah, but some people buy into it.
A lot of people buy into it. Thanks for the call. Thanks for sounding off. Jim in Pensacola, Florida, east of the Rockies. Sound off, Jim. Go ahead.
Hey, George, I want to sound off about all the broken glass out on the streets. I started riding my bicycle seriously 2.5 years ago.
Okay, pedal bicycle or motorcycle?
Pedal bicycle.
Okay.
I'm a very serious road cyclist.
Okay.
And people have been throwing their beer bottles and other whiskey bottles and stuff out in the street. I've gone through a slew of flats.
Oh, man.
And see, this is quite a local thing. Everybody's talking about global this, global that, you know, Washington, who cares, you know? I ride a bicycle, and it matters to me.
I can't stand it when you see someone roll down their window and throw anything out. You know?
Well, see, you know, you got to think of it in the perspective of the drinker. He doesn't want to be caught with an empty in his bottle and beer in his breath.
Right, right.
Good. All right, so he's got to get rid of it. Why doesn't he just pull over to a gas station where there's trash cans?
Exactly.
Now, I've got real expensive tires on my bike. They cost about $40 each.
Did you ever get a flat really hightailing it? And, you know, did you ever fall or any kind of spill or anything like that?
No, not. I haven't taken a crash because of a flat. I've had one roll a little bit while I was cornering, but I wasn't going very fast, so it, you know, really didn't qualify as a crash because I didn't really hit the ground.
But when you get a flat with a bicycle, you know it.
Well, yeah, because you're on the rim quick, and the rims are really expensive too, and you've got to hit your brakes quick before you destroy your rim.
That's a good point.
Yeah, thanks.
That's it. Sound off. No matter what. Rock Island, Illinois. Hey, Craig, you're on the air with us.
Yeah, George, I'd like to sound off about people who ruin my cabs and one other issue.
Okay, now tell me about this. Ruin your cabs.
They did a number two in my cab.
No, come on.
Yes, I spent half an hour cleaning it. I could even give Tom the number of my dispatcher to verify.
No, we don't want to verify it. I trust you. I mean, you're driving the cab and they're going to the bathroom in the back seat?
Uncontrollably drunk. I've had people puke in my cab. I've had, you know, now somebody number two.
And who? And you've got to clean it?
I've got to clean it.
Unbelievable.
And it was a casino who called for this person. So I've got to talk to their security manager
Did he pay you for the ride? Who paid for the ride? The casino?
The customer paid for the ride, but the casino called. So I've got to talk to them on my day off to get paid for my time cleaning.
Did the customer even know what he did?
Yes.
Oh, he did. Was he embarrassed?
She was embarrassed.
It was a she?
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. Why don't we guys expect a woman to have to do that? I would have thought it was a drunk guy.
No, it was a drunk chick.
Jeez. All right, what's the – thanks for the enlightening. Yeah. Hold on. Let's have our little dinner. Tom, what are we eating tonight after the show, folks? Well, I guess we're canceling dinner tonight. Thanks to you.
And the other one is about backstabbing ex-coworkers who lead you on in certain arenas, i.e. getting with them.
Backstabbing ex-workers who turn on you.
Say one thing, you know, oh, yeah, maybe we can hang out. Next thing you know, oh, by the way, I'm over here with this guy.
Well,
you know, just playing with your head.
That happens.
But it's annoying.
But the first sound off, man, I hope that never happens to anybody.
Well, it's already happened to now myself and another driver and a third driver for the company.
Kind of makes you want to get out of the business, doesn't it?
Actually, no, not when you're walking out some nights with $167 in your pocket and tips.
Well, is it worth it?
Overall, it's worth it. It happens once in a blue moon.
Man.
And I listen to you every night when I'm at work. That's how I kill my overnight hours.
All right. Well, thanks for listening. Indeed. Matter of fact, I was in a cab in St. Louis going to the airport, and they didn't know who I was, but he had his radio on, and I was just talking to him about what he listens to, and he said, oh, I listen to that Coast to Coast show every night, and I, of course, just kind of stayed quiet. I hope I wasn't in that kind of a cab. Debbie in Naples, Florida, you're on the air with us. Hey, Debbie.
Hey, George.
Sound off,
Debbie. See you all the time.
Thanks.
Love you. Like my gripe is, and I want to sound off about is that I'm 58 years old. I have had job for 10 years as an optician and another job before that in a plant research facility. I've worked two jobs in 20 years. I'm a very good employee and everything.
And you've liked these jobs?
Yes, I like these jobs. And the reason why I was laid off in my second job that I had for 10 years is because they want to do is hire Cubans. And even before I got laid off, everybody in there was blah, 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 blah. I couldn't even communicate with them right. And then now that I've been off work and unemployment for like 6 months now, even though I have this good job record and everything, even though I put in my applications everywhere, not just optical jobs, but grocery stores or just anywhere, nobody calls me. But when I go in there as a customer, everybody's going blah, 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 blah. And they've hired new people that I could see that they've hired and didn't even call me. And so, you know, I'm just sick and tired of these immigrants taking over my job. I was born here.
Now, are they legal?
I guess so. I don't know.
You know, if you're Cuban, you come to the States, you're legal the minute you touch ground here.
I know that.
But I'm sure you'll find work. Don't take it out on people who are Cuban just because they get jobs. I mean, they're not out to get you.
You know, I know they're not personally out to, but I can't find any job because that's all they're hiring. It's all they're hiring here in Florida. That's how it is here in Florida. I mean, you apply for stuff and nobody...
I assume you were a good optician.
Yes, I was a good optician and everything. That's who I was replaced by, and everybody that I want to apply for a job by, it doesn't matter even if it's an optics or not. I put in a good resume, and nobody calls me back. And when I go in there, who's there? A bunch of people speaking Spanish and all this.
Well, I'm going to tell you, I bet you're going on these interviews sometimes, and you're a little negative now because you don't expect to get hired. And you think it's going to go to somebody else. Why don't you just change your posture a little bit? Go in there positive, you know, that you're going to get this job and you're going to work with everybody. I bet you get a job within 2 weeks if you do that. Give it a try.
Okay.
All right?
All right.
Just turn it around. Let's go next to Winchester, Kentucky. Hey, Larry, go ahead. Sound off.
Hey, George, this is Larry.
Uh-huh.
I'd like to stand up about the tax system.
Oh, yeah, I hope you do, because I wish they would throw it out the window.
Now, here's my complaint. If you get a refund, they make you claim that as income.
Income the following year, that's right.
And sometimes that pushes you up into another percentage bracket for your whole income.
They still get you coming and going, don't they? You would think that your refund...
Building.
You would think that your refund would be a gift because it's already been taxed.
Right. I mean, you know, it's not like they're giving me interest on the money they used all year.
Oh, you'll never get that. Never get that.
But anyway, I was in the Bacchus building in Lexington, and I was sounding off about double taxation. And they asked me to leave, and they even threatened to go upstairs and get an FBI agent to escort me out.
How were you protesting? Were you screaming and yelling?
No.
Just talking about it?
Just talking about it.
Yeah, well, you know, in most places we can't say what we feel anymore. Those days are gone, Larry. You'll have to go home.
I just don't think it's fair.
No, of course it's not fair. Nothing's fair. That's why you have a program like this, to let the world know what's going on.
But you know, probably most people, if they don't do their own taxes, are not aware of it.
That's true.
You know, the CPA says, well, I filled them out, sign here, and I just sign them and mail them in.
Sign and send it on, and they're glad it's finished, aren't they?
Yep.
All right, thanks, Larry.
Thank you.
Sound off, Ed in Wheatfield, New York. You're on Coast to Coast. Hey, Ed.
George, Ed from Wheatfield, just a few miles away from Niagara Falls.
I have friends who went to Niagara Falls a few weeks ago, and they loved it, and I guess it's still falling.
George, I met them. They're good people.
Good.
A few items. Miracles.
Miracles?
Yes. But for the guy on the motor on the bicycle,
yeah.
Tell him to buy red run flat tires.
What are they?
You run over something, they run flat, and you keep on trucking. They're not real comfortable.
Okay.
But they keep going.
All right. And then do you have to get them fixed later?
Miracles. Sure. No, you don't.
Okay.
They keep on trucking.
A little slow there, Ed. You're slowing the uptake.
1995. I've been trying to call. My phone took a dump tonight. I switched to an old phone. And
we don't use that word anymore since the cab driver called it.
Oh, well, I'm sorry, but a miracle took place. Jesus touched this phone call.
Okay, go ahead.
And I got through.
See? Magic. Magic miracles. And miracles. You got it.
I don't believe in magic. I believe in Jesus. Well, but anyhow.
It's good for you.
Moving on down the line.
All right.
Politics.
We have to talk about politics?
No, we don't really have to. If you'd rather not, just tell me, and I'll just move on to another subject. I'm sure I can find something shortly. My wife is really upset at me because I stay up all night listening to you.
Well, tell her to, you know, she should listen, too. Make it a family affair.
She works in the morning. I just pulled the plug in February 1st, and
how long did you work?
That's the other thing I want to talk to you about. People looking for jobs. Folks, I put my application in July. I was there or on the phone every day for 4 months till I got my job. Putting an application in or a resume does not get you a job. That tells them you're there. Yep. Show them you want to be there.
You sound like Jesse Ventura.
I'm sorry. Well, maybe that's a good thing. I like him.
He's a pretty straight shooter.
Well, I did is I let them know every day I wanted the job. They gave me the job because they were so tired of seeing me.
They probably said, let's just hire him and get him off our
hire
back.
Hire the guy. We don't have to hear him anymore.
And have you turned out to be an exemplary employee?
Well, I retired after 39 years at the top as I can go, except they wouldn't take me into supervision because they were probably afraid of me.
Well, you're probably, you know, a little too forceful for them.
Well, I think it was a case of probably I'd make the company work the way it was supposed to.
You mean operation efficiently?
Well, being that it's a run by an authority, you know, a state-run, Fed-run company.
Oh, that's right. You're in New York.
Well, then, you know, I probably didn't fit quite into the scheme of things.
So you're getting a pension?
I've seen a lot of stupid stuff go on.
You're getting a pension?
Well, we won't go there because, yes, sir, I do. Yes, sir, I paid for it. And, yes, sir, it is not really that swell, but I'll get by and I can get a part-time job.
And what's Social Security kicking for you?
Oh, well, when you get into, GM, mm-hmm. Delphi, stuff like that, they get their package up front. So at no time in the future will they get a raise. When their SSI kicks in, their pension drops by that amount.
So I wonder,
whatever they're out the door now with, that's what they get.
All right. Well, I wonder how many people would take these early buyouts that some companies give them, where they give them $50,000, $100,000 up front, which, of course, you got to get taxed on it, don't you? I'm sure you do. And take the buyout. And then here's the secret. You got to find a job right away. Because if you do that, it's all profit. Some people I know, they retired in St. Louis, same kind of thing. They got buyouts from big companies, and they didn't get a job. They just lived off that until it was gone. And then they really had to work, and by that time, it was even later for them. Mike, sound off in Sioux Falls, South Dakota. Go ahead, Michael.
Yeah, hi. I want to sound off about getting a show about illegal aliens, and I think you should do more on it because it's a real big problem.
It's a big problem.
But I came from California a few months ago. This is an American town, but the town that I came out of, 20 to 30% of the people living there were illegals.
Yeah, you're not opposed to immigration, legal immigration.
No, we need them.
Of course we do.
Have them, but there needs to be a legal way for them to get here.
Absolutely.
Then they need to go home when they're done working.
Yep.
You know? And let another group come in and work.
Unless you're going to knock all the borders down and make this just a one-world government.
Well, that's...
Which is their plan.
I'm not going to get into that mess, but, you know, I mean, you can't get a job in retail there if you don't speak Spanish. You can't get service at the Jack in the Box counter unless you can name the items off that you want in Spanish. You know, and it's not just a matter of the people coming here and taking jobs. It's they don't want to become part of our culture.
Well, one thing in this country, we have got to implore that people learn English and they read it and they write it and they speak it because this is the United States, right? You know, you keep your other languages, but, you know, the big language here in this country is English and everybody ought to learn it. and speak it. Let's go, Aliza. We're running out of time, Aliza, so why don't you just say goodnight to everybody for me? Could you do that?
Yeah, I just want to say one thing. I have a trike, and I'm just tired of people throwing bottles, actually hitting me.
No.
I have a trike, okay? This thing cost me $400, and all three tires are flat.
All right. Say goodnight to everybody for me, Aliza.
Good night, and my name's Eliza.
For Jason Bowers, Wayne Roberts, Dan Galante, Karis Coburn, Tom Danheiser, Lisa Lyon, Lex Lonehood, Sean LaDesur, Ross Mitchell, George Knapp, Ian Punnin, and Art Bell. I'm George Norrie, somewhere out there on Coast to Coast AM. We'll see you on our next edition. Until then, be safe, everyone.